Hey, did you know you can support this show, Talking Animals, anytime? You don't have to wait for marathons. You can go now to WNF.org and hit the tip jar on the Talking Animals page on WNF.org. Thanks in advance for giving to this show on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll speak with Ted Coran of the Critter Plates, a Florida sanctuary that's helped animals for nearly 25 years, and now itself needs some help. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Midnight Oil with Mosquito March, apropos this time of year perhaps, right? Here on Talking Animals. That's Midnight Oil with Mosquito March, an animal song of sorts. Leads us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from today's guest, Ted Coran, who, along with his wife, Karen, have operated the Critter Place, a nonprofit sanctuary in Weekiwachee, Florida, that's taken in all manner of abused, neglected, or abandoned animals, providing a forever home, otherwise helping so-called throwaway animals for nearly 25 years. Now they need help. We'll discuss the Critter Place, the recent struggles, how folks can help, and more when we speak to Ted Coran in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner, as well as animal comedy. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of Kitty Cornered, the latest book by Bob Tart, recent guest on Talking Animals. That show with Bob Tart is archived on our website, talkinganimals.net. Also later, we'll hear some more animal songs, including one by Natasha Atlas. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment, a look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item involves just a reminder that there's this fun drive on the horizon. And again, it's not a full-length, week-long marathon. It's 3-plus days, though, in July, specifically July 10th through 13th. And that definitely includes a Wednesday, so Talking Animals will be very much in the fundraising mode, on, in my case, July 11th. So we hope we can count on your support then, but we'd love to get your support now, if at all possible. So, again, if you like Talking Animals, you like the shows, you like the guests we interview, the work that we do here, or... Again, this part of the month, we are celebrating our 9th anniversary of the show overall, 6-plus years here at WMNF. So maybe if you'd like to salute our anniversary with a little financial boost, that, of course, actually supports WMNF, I'd love to have you slip something in our tip jar. So please go to WMNF.org, click on the full schedule link in the upper left-hand corner, then click on Talking Animals, Wednesday, of course, at 11 a.m., then zoom up and click on the tip jar, and if you can drop in... You know, $25, $50, $100 more if you can do that. That would be awesome. Whatever you can do would be much, much appreciated. And again, it helps the station and helps me get a nice head start on the fundraising goals that we'll have come, come July 11th. So thank you very much for anything you can do. Terrific. All right, on to actual animal news. From Reuters, a federal judge said the Food and Drug Administration had done, quote, shockingly little to address the human health risks of antibiotic use in animal feed and ordered the agency to reconsider two petitions seeking restrictions on the practice. The ruling, filed recently in a lawsuit brought by environmental and public health groups, is the second recent setback for the FDA amid longstanding concern that overuse of antibiotics in animal feed is endangering human health by creating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. U.S. Magistrate Judge Theodore Katz in New York questioned the federal agency's arguments that it would be less costly and more efficient to risk the industry, to ask the industry to voluntarily cut back on the use of such antibiotics, rather than go through the regulatory process of revoking the approval of such drug use on farms and at feedlots. Quote, for over 30 years, the agency has been confronted with evidence of the human health risks associated with the widespread subtherapeutic use of antibiotics in food-producing animals, and despite a statutory mandate to ensure the safety of animal drugs, the agency has done shockingly little to address these risks, Katz wrote. In March, Katz ordered the FDA to complete proceedings to withdraw approval for the non-therapeutic use of penicillin and tetracycline in livestock production unless makers of the drug can produce evidence that their use is safe. The agency started the process in 1977, but never completed it. The FDA declined last week to comment on the latest ruling. It filed a notice of appeal last month of the March order. In its latest ruling, Katz found that the FDA behaved in a quote-unquote arbitrary and capricious manner when it dismissed two citizens' petitions that asked the agency to consider banning farmers from using antibiotics on livestock for non-therapeutic uses. The FDA had rejected the two petitions, filed in 1999 and 2005, because of the time and expense to hold formal withdrawal proceedings. How many livestock farmers use such antibiotics and their animals on their animals and how frequently the drugs are used is unknown. An estimated 80% of all antibiotics sold in the United States are for use in agriculture, according to data reported by the FDA. In Columbus, Ohio, Ohio Governor John Kasich signed into law last week new state restrictions on the ownership of exotic animals, allowing the slaughter last year of dozens of wild animals freed by a man before he committed suicide. Until now, Ohio had no restrictions on the ownership of exotic animals such as the lions, tigers, leopards, monkeys, and bears Terry Thompson released from his farm near Zanesville last October. In the surreal, tragic incident, authorities gunned down most of the 56 animals in a shoot-to-kill hunt through Ohio farmland after finding Thompson dead in numerous empty cages. And all 49 of the animals were shot dead. One was presumed eaten by another, and the other six were taken to the Columbus Zoo where a leopard would later die. Last month, the zoo was forced to hand back to five surviving animals a spotted leopard, a black leopard, a brown bear, and two Sotheby's macaw monkeys to Thompson's widow, Marion. Ohio was one of the handful of states with no restriction on the ownership of wild exotic animals, and local officials have been pressing for new rules ever since. The law signed last week by the governor was approved by lawmakers last month. Kasich said Ohio officials found the lack of rules governing exotic animal ownership in the state was a problem beyond the county where Thompson had his farm. Ohio really was the Wild Wild West, Kasich told a news conference. We had virtually no rules and no regulations in terms of all this. The law, which takes effect on September 3rd, bans new ownership of some animals like big cats, bears, and some reptiles. Current owners may keep the animals if they meet conditions that include obtaining state permits, carrying liability insurance, and having certain types of cage. And one more time, as we've done in recent weeks, want to appeal to folks who might be thinking about fostering a dog. Golden Retriever Rescue, Southwest Florida, has been looking for fosters and still very much is. Again, the summer is a really tough, tough time for placing fosters because, again, people are traveling, they're on vacation, snowbirds have flown the coop some time ago, and so there's just obviously less potential foster homes. So if you nonetheless are thinking, hey, that's something we'd like to do, then the Golden Retriever Rescue of Southwest Florida urges you to step up. They'll supply all the veterinary needs, so you're, as the foster home, would just be providing the love, the food, the toys, and getting the nice benefit of fostering a nice dog before placed in a forever home. So you can find out more about this. They have a detailed page on their website about fostering. The website itself is grrswf.org, and they're also on Facebook. Again, search for Golden Retriever Rescue of Southwest Florida. And finally, if you just want to go directly to their foster coordinator, Lynette Malinchak, you can just email her at Lynette, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E, at grrswf.org. And some sad news on the chimpanzee front, especially a higher profile chimp. Famed chimpanzee Oliver, known for his upright stature and human traits, has died at a wildlife refuge after spending much of his life in a circus shows and research labs. Oliver died recently, said Stephen Rene Tello, executive director of Primarily Primates, the San Antonio Animal Sanctuary, where the chimp had lived since 1998. Oliver was mostly blind, had no teeth, and suffered from arthritis. Told the San Antonio Express News that Oliver's girlfriend, Raisin, was by his side when caretakers found him. Oliver, who walked upright most of the time, was believed to be at least 55 years old. His exact age was not known because he was pulled from the wild in the Congo by two animal trailers. Said, subject of a Discovery Channel documentary in 2006, Oliver came to the sanctuary after being relocated from a research lab in Pennsylvania. Douglas said the lab didn't perform any studies on Oliver during his decade there because the staff could tell he was special. Quote, he was just on a different level. He had very human-like traits. So rest in peace, Oliver. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Jackie Cation, who Mark Maron, presided over the WTF celebrated podcast, recently touted to Rolling Stone as a comic who should be bigger. And we agree. So this is Jackie Cation with a piece called New Dog on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
But the truly crazy people in Los Angeles are literally the animal people. And before I go into it, allow me to make an announcement. I love animals. I love them. People are animals. I love people. I love the tiny animals we have as pets. I love the larger ones we eat. I love all the animals. I'm like Dr. Doolittle up here. I freaking love the animals. My husband has an iguana. It's like petting a purse, but it's a perfectly nice animal. Very adorable lizard. And, but get this, when I was a kid, of course, if you had an old dog or a very ill cat, you sadly put the dog down, put the cat to sleep. It was very sad. But they would go to Happy Dog or Cat Heaven, and you would go to the pound to get a new... And it's a circle of life. It was very beautiful. That doesn't happen in crazy Los Angeles land, where people are like, oh no, the cat's only 17, we're going to get dialysis. Are you? I have a friend of mine who has a cat that is 21 years old, and in addition to the plethora of other issues going on with this cat, it now has diabetes. And so she has to shoot it up twice a day. You know what that is? Time for a new cat. New cat twice a day? Why do you get a cat? So you don't have to do anything. That's why you get a cat. Because it poops in a box. $3,000 for diabetic cat medicine for this cat. You know what that is? That is 3,000 new cats. Because cats are free. And I have another friend of mine who has a dog, and the dog has to get a new hip, but it didn't work. And so the dog is still scooting around on a cart like Captain Pike. And I'm going to tell you something. It is a dog. It is not ever going to be Stephen Hawking. Not ever. It's not going to write the great American novel from the cart. It's not going to cure cancer from the cart. If it can't run, new dog. New dog! And people get mad at me in L.A., and they come up to me after shows, and they're like, you don't like animals. And I said, no, I don't like you. Because you're a jackass about your pet. You got to let go, weirdo. And because what do you get with a cat or a dog? 15, 20 years. That's what you get. I didn't make that rule. If you would like more than that, turtle. Turtle, 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 turtle. Tiny turtle, hat, tutu, carrying around your creepy Paris Hilton purse. You lift its head up. Adorable. Giant tortoise that could walk slowly around your backyard for 300 years and become a burden on your descendants. Turtle. Where I go to eat breakfast in LA, right next to my breakfast place, there is an animal eye care clinic. Kid you not. Animal eye care clinic. I don't have insurance, but let's get Mitten some contacts. Better now or now? Now.
All right, that was Jackie Cation with a piece called New Dog, taken from her album Circus People. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to hear from today's guest, Ted Paran. As I touched on earlier, Ted and his wife, Karen, have operated the Critter Place, a nonprofit sanctuary in Weekewaunchee, Florida, that's taken in all manner of abused, neglected, or abandoned animals, providing them a forever home and otherwise helping them for nearly 25 years. Now they need help. It's truly the kind of story that, among other things on the show, we really should, I think, be bringing out and making public. So we'll hear all about the situation and how folks can help. So in a conversation recorded last Wednesday, this is Ted Paran from the Critter Place. I'm Talking Animals. Okay, cool. All right, let's welcome to Talking Animals Ted Paran from the Critter Place. So thanks for joining us today, Ted.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to be on here with you.
Absolutely. Well, let's sort of start at the beginning, or what may pass for the beginning in this conversation. First of all, when did you guys land in Weekewaunchee? What was sort of the beginnings of this?
Well, we moved up here when we got an opportunity to buy a piece of larger land that we were previously renting a small piece of land, and we wanted to be out in the country and out in the woods. And we've been here, I guess, about 17, 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted our animals to be a little more out in the country and have a little more natural setting, and we just enjoyed the privacy and being with our animals in the kind of out in the country woods.
Sure.
It was something we wanted to do, and we finally got a little piece of the American dream.
Well, there you go. And so obviously when you moved there, you were already underway with the Critter Place. This was just sort of an opportunity to expand and kind of just have a better setup, better environment for the animals that you were already caring for at that point.
Well, the Critter Place kind of came along within the last 3 or 4 years. We just started out rescuing a horse that we were told we ought to just put down, and she stayed with us for another 24 years, and we had a few dogs and cats, and that's what we moved up here with, and then it just kind of kept growing and growing, and people on Facebook started liking our animals and what we were doing, and we just decided, well, we might as well just call ourselves a sanctuary and let people know how much we care about our what some people might call our 80 pets.
Sure.
And it just kind of blossomed into what it is today. We didn't make it this what it is. It happened.
Right. Well, so let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, how early on was there an intention to take in animals that had been, you know, abused, neglected, abandoned? And was it that first horse that kind of put you on the path, or how did you, if you're looking back, how did you actually, you know, sort of get started down the road to the critter place?
Well, I don't know if people really have the intention of ending up doing what we ended up doing, but it started out with one horse. My wife and I had just gotten married, and we saw this horse a few lots away that people would keep tied up on a 10-foot rope, and she had ended up digging a hole about a foot deep in the sugar sand because all she would do all day would walk around in a circle. And so we offered to buy her to get her out of that situation, and as soon as we got her, she went down with colic. We didn't know anything about horses, absolutely nothing. And
so when you stepped in, Ted, sorry to interrupt, but so you just kind of intervened because you just felt the situation looked so bad, even though you weren't at that point horse people or didn't have sort of, you know, horse expertise.
Yeah. All we knew about was dogs and cats. My wife had spent a few years up in Massachusetts before we got married caring for cows on a cattle ranch, 40 cows, and she came to love those animals, but we didn't have any intention of getting involved in any other animals other than dogs and cats, because we were living on an acre of land, and, you know, we just wanted to save this horse's life.
Sure.
We were told to put her down the next day because usually within 24 hours of having colic, we ended up learning real quick what colic was and what how devastating it could be to horses, and we didn't have money, we didn't have nothing. The way her life was saved was a complete fluke by advice given to us by an old man sitting on a rocking chair looking like Humpty Dumpty sitting on the wall, and he was a 90-year-old man that said, "Don't worry about it. Give the horse some Boone's Farm apple wine, some bran and mineral oil, and get her ass off the ground and make her walk, and she'll be just fine." And this is after a vet told us to put her down.
Wow. Well, I guess the Humpty Dumpty and the rocking chair kind of trumps the vet in this case.
Well, he was the old man that owned the store. It was a family-run feed store. I'm up there begging people walking in the door, "What do I do about this horse? I'm clueless. She's going to die on us." And we tried to save her life. And, excuse me, it gets kind of emotional because we lost her last year.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I didn't know that you had lost her. I'm very sorry, Ted. But
she was 32 years old.
Wow.
She was with us for 24 years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, needless to say, you guys, you know, took her from what sounds like a pretty rough, bad spot where, you know, maybe her fate was just about sealed then, and, you know, really brought her all the way back and gave her a great, great life. So.
Well, she was a very strange horse. When my wife would have a mild seizure whenever she was out in the pasture or in the barn, this horse would just take her big lips around my wife's face, and I got to witness it one time. Darn it, Duncan, you weren't supposed to make me cry like
that. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but what's the horse's name? We need to identify this special horse, certainly.
Well, her name is Ruby.
Okay.
She isn't a was. Ruby isn't a was because she's always in her heart. So.
For sure.
With us every day.
Absolutely. So let me just let folks know, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Ted Coran of the Critter Place, a Florida sanctuary that's helped unfortunate animals for nearly 25 years, and now itself needs some help. Their website is thecritterplace.weebly.com, and they're also on Facebook at The Critter Place. This conversation was recorded last Wednesday. So Ted, from kind of first intervening there and helping out Ruby, I take it that you know, sort of slowly but surely, other animals either came to your attention or you just, you know, they maybe were brought to you literally. So how did it kind of unfold from there? Because it sounds like over the years, there's obviously been quite a number of animals that you've, you know, helped out in one way or another and given that kind of loving care to.
Well, somehow it just manages to happen.
Sure.
We don't go out looking for animals to save or to give homes to. A few have just showed up on our doorstep, on our pool deck, out in our backyard. A pelican was pecking on our sliding glass door one time with five hooks in its pouch and several hooks in its feet. It seems as though whenever anybody nearby us up and move and leave their cats behind, somehow they managed to find our property.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. Word is out in the animal world and probably in the human world that you and Karen are the place to go.
Well, we don't know how or why, or we don't even try to give it any reasoning. We just try to take care of them best we can.
Sure. And
when they show up, we sure as heck aren't going to turn them away.
Right. So I assume that over the years that you've never said no, even if you were, you know, short on space or resources. I gather you probably have always found a way to help out whatever animal showed up or was brought to you.
Obviously, we've gotten up to over 80 animals, and so up to this point, we didn't know what the word no meant.
Right.
And my wife and I have dreamed sometime if we ever won a large lottery, what we would do with it, and we got up to a couple $100,000 as to what we would do with our lottery winnings, and then we wondered, well, what the heck would we do with the rest of the multi-millions? And we thought, geez, we could get 100 acres, save more animals,
sure,
help other rescues and sanctuaries. You know, this recession has just been terrible, not just on us, but on so many other people doing what we do.
Sure. Well, I want to, of course, get into a bit more about that in a moment, but let's talk a little bit. So I take it when you said the max is 80 animals, I assume that's how many animals live with you at the moment.
Yeah, that's what we got in. That's what we got here.
Sure. Well, let's obviously we can't talk about them all, but if you wouldn't mind, maybe let's just take a little moment to meet a few of the current residents of the Critter Place, and maybe just give us a, you know, handful with their name and what kind of animal it is, and maybe the circumstances under which they came to live there.
Well, I think you've gone through a few of the animals and have seen a few of their stories. I could talk about every single one of them.
Well, let's just do three or four, because let's assume that probably a lot of people listening have not necessarily yet had a chance to visit the website and get acquainted with those. So maybe let's just try to meet three or four, and just kind of hear briefly their story.
Well, one that really seems to break a lot of people's hearts is a little potbelly pig that we ended up calling Skittles. We're visiting some friends that we had just recently met that also have a lot of exotic animals, peacocks and different types of birds and goats and pygmy goats. And they're very interesting people we had met. We decided to go visit. And they had this potbelly pig that someone had given to them, because this pig had escaped its previous owners, who were hunters. They would hunt pigs out in the wild, and they had hunting dogs, and they would use Skittles as a hunting dog bait pig. So they would just keep her in a small cage, and every once in a while just let her out and run for dear life while they let their hunting dogs chase her. And they were taught not to attack the pig, but that was mostly for the safety of the dogs until the hunters would show up and shoot the pig out in the wild.
Right. So it was a training exercise, basically, for these dogs to chase down and terrify Skittles, but only to sort of get ready to do that thing in you know, a more drastic fashion out in the wild.
To prepare the younger beagles that were being taught how to chase pigs. That's why they used a pot belly, because it was for the younger beagles that were up and coming pig chasers out in the wild.
Yeah. Well, that's
Skittles managed to escape one day while she is being chased. She found her way to her neighbor's yard, and the neighbor had tried to stop the hunters from doing this, and law enforcement and animal control apparently didn't seem to see anything wrong with it. So when Skittles escaped and ended up at the neighbor's, the neighbor immediately took her to these newfound friends that we had met, and these people told us the story, and my wife and I just, there's no way that this is ever going to happen to her again.
Sure.
She's been with us for 2 years now.
Well, and again, Skittles is someone I did get to know from the website, and again, folks can go to that website. It's thecritterplace.weebly.com, and meet a lot of the animals, and there's ways also to support them and help them, and so, I was pretty taken by the Skittles story as well, and just did a little donation myself. So let's hear about maybe one more animal that's a resident at the Critter Place, and there's some other stuff, of course, I want to chat with you about as well.
I guess the last big event that happened to us was the taking in of 35 or 40 cats that came about 8 months ago, 9 months ago. I was approached in a parking lot by a lady whose friend was diagnosed with several different illnesses and may not live very long, and was having difficulty caring for her cats. She had taken in cats for many, many years, was financially able to care for these cats that would have otherwise have been put down for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a cat lover and took care of all these cats in a very excellent. And so I was told this in a parking lot and asked if I could help with these cats in any way, find homes for them, because the lady was having difficulty caring for her with her new medical conditions. So I said I would, not having a clue of what to do and how to deal with the situation. So I put it on my Facebook, and within an hour, someone had offered to donate a 30-foot travel trailer that this lady that was going to donate the trailer was using herself to care for cats, and her husband converted it to a cat house.
Mm-hmm.
And she could no longer care for cats because her husband became ill with a type of brain cancer, and she had to care for him. So she offered us this cat house, and to make a long story short, the cat house ended up here. The lady's name that was having difficulty with her cats, her name is Sandy. She came up and visited one time and thought that living here would be such a nice place because it would give her a reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
She could be with her cats.
Sure.
I said, well, come on up and move into our spare bedroom. And so her and the cats are here now.
And how long ago was that, Ted, that Sandy moved in?
Sandy moved here in January, well, along with her cat.
Mm-hmm.
But it was brought to my attention several months earlier, so
sure.
It was kind of a snowballed how things came about totally. This is another totally by accident, not planned. It just happened to work out, and thank goodness that the cats are safe, Sandy's safe, and we're able to be here for all of them.
That's great. Well, again, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. In a conversation recorded last Wednesday, I'm talking with Ted Coran of the Critter Place of Florida Sanctuary that's helped unfortunate animals in various ways for nearly 25 years, and now itself could use some help, which we're going to find out a little bit more about in a sec. But their website is thecritterplace.weebly.com, and they're on Facebook at the Critter Place as well. So, Ted, with all those animals, we're talking, you know, 80 or so, it sounds like, and all their stories and maybe special needs in some cases. Have you found like that having a sort of consistent routine helps you guys feed and care for them in sort of the most effective way? I mean, maybe you could just sort of tell us if there isn't a typical day, maybe walk us through just briefly what goes on any given day at the Critter Place.
Well, we definitely got to run it in a routine. You get to this point, it's kind of like running a factory or a...
Sure, no other way to get it done.
With 80 yeah. employees.
Right.
It just starts out with the indoor cats being fed, and then the birds that we have in our Florida room, they get taken care of, and the pigs out front... Squiggly and Gordy, they get fed, and then we go out back and feed Skittles and Pork Chop.
Sure.
And then we go out and take care of the horses, and we all pitch in and go out and take care of the cat house and spend time with the cats, and then we get to relax for an hour or so, and... drink our morning coffee or finish up our morning coffee. And
yeah.
The lunchtime routine is feeding the dogs.
Sure.
And then come around 4-5 o'clock or so, an hour before dark, depending on whether it's winter or summer, then we go through the routine again.
Wow.
It's
well,
kind of a six-hour day each. There's like three stages that we do for different groups of animals, and
that's
a fun thing to do. We enjoy, it gives us the time to spend with every single one of the animals, and not a single one of them goes without getting a good morning, good afternoon, hello, how you doing?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so Ted, it does sound like it's very, you know, structured, and you do have it down. And again, you know, it's a fair amount of time each day. And I suspect that this routine that you kind of described, has been altered lately in some ways. You and Karen have been contending with some struggles. Maybe you could talk just a little bit about those.
Well, there's been a major interruptions. My wife was recently diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and she's in stage C3, about as bad as it gets. And of course, the physical limitations go along with the disease. So it's been difficult for her.
Mm-hmm.
She can spend maybe 15 minutes doing what she could spend like clockwork 3 hours to do, and she
sure.
can only spend about 15 minutes now.
Yeah.
And that's mostly just being with the animals because she really can't care for them too well.
Right.
So fortunately, one good thing about me being unemployed right now I'm able to be here for her, and thank goodness Sandy's been very helpful and is able to pitch in. But of course, Sandy has her bad days on occasion, and with me being unemployed, I've been lucky enough to be able to fill in some of the gaps.
Sure. Well, and I guess we should note that, another part of the sort of struggles that you've sort of glossed over in a sense is that you were laid off recently. So, you know, that's on the one hand, as you say, freed up, you know, some time for you to pick up the slack, but of course also, you know, brought with it, you know, its own set of difficulties as well. So, well, clearly, you guys, the Critter Place, you know, could benefit from some help and of one kind or another and some donations. I mentioned earlier, I donated yesterday in support of Skittles and, of course, more broadly in support of the Critter Place. And again, for people who might want to look at some of the animals that we're talking about and some we haven't even had a chance to talk about in different ways, you could kind of help, you know, pay their bills if you're inclined, is to go to their website, thecritterplace.weebly.com. And again, they're also, have a Facebook page that's got all kinds of information and pictures as well. And, one of the many things, that I, you know, sort of was struck by when visiting the website, is that you make it really clear that you're a nonprofit, but you also make it equally clear in multiple places that you are not at the moment a 501c3, which I, you know, again, I just really appreciated the kind of the frankness of that because I, you know, it's tough to be a sanctuary. It's tough to be a nonprofit, and you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily as forthcoming about what their 501c3 status is. And is that something that over time that you guys hope to pursue?
Well, yes, because we would like to promote animal advocacy and bring awareness to some animals that some people may put on the bottom of their I really don't care list, which would be pigs. People don't realize how loving these animals are, and we would love to. We have one pig, his name is Squiggly, who has his own Facebook page, and people just love him to death and follow him like he's some sort of a pop star. And he was supposed to be a 100-pound potbelly pig, and so far he's pushing about 350 pounds. So, of course, we'd like people that think teacup pigs and mini pigs are such nifty little critters, but when they end up growing up like Squiggly, they end up being put on the table instead as pork chops or a barbecue.
Sure.
Or they get a neglected, and there's a lot of awareness about these beautiful animals that people don't know about.
Right. Well, so again, I think the Facebook page is great for that, as is the website. But here's the other thing too, Ted, just because we're probably in our last few moments here, is that let's say that someone went to the website and checked it out and said, wow, you know, I'd like to help Squiggly or some of these other animals. But, you know, I myself maybe am grappling with some tight finances. I can, you know, maybe do a few bucks, but maybe, you know, is there other ways I could help? Now, if someone, you know, was inclined to help out in other ways, are you seeking and open to volunteers? Maybe people come out a couple days a week and help with some of that routine you described. I mean, are there other ways that people could help you and Karen at this point, you know, kind of pick up the slack?
Well, I had put up on my Facebook a volunteer event that if anyone could volunteer just an hour sometime between now and September, we have our routine broken down into one-hour increments, and it's kind of unofficially scientific in the way we set things up, and I'm sure Karen and Sandy would enjoy the company and talking to people and letting them know what it's like to hug a piggy or hold a chicken. City folk that have never held a chicken before, you know.
Sure.
They're all nifty critters. They all have their own unique personalities, and in ways they go through their lives that we never knew about until we started taking them in.
Sure. No, it's a great opportunity. And again, I just, sounds like you guys could use, you know, any kind of help that anybody could kind of swing in their own schedule to come out there and help out. So, beyond, of course, checking the Facebook page, is there an email address or some other way that if someone wanted to help out, they could sort of get started in offering their services?
Well, our new official email, for the Critter Place itself is thecritterplace@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And that's where our PayPal goes through. It's a PayPal nonprofit account.
Sure.
That is connected to our Wells Fargo nonprofit bank account there also, and everything is accounted for. Anything
yeah.
that anybody wants to, it may not be tax deductible, but we are legally required to let anybody know exactly where everything goes, and we keep receipts and from the feed store and keep everything separate when we go to the market and get whatever we get for the animals.
Sure. Well, that's, again, another thing I was really struck by is it seems very, very open and transparent and, you know, really, as you say, everything's kind of accounted for, and you just make it clear, you know, how it works and that you're, again, that you're not yet a 501c3, but you are indeed a nonprofit and that, you know, there's certain obligations, of course, that go with that. So, well, Ted, gosh, I really appreciate you making the time to speak with us today on Talking Animals. Again, we've been speaking with Ted Coran from the Critter Place. One more time, the website is thecritterplace.weebly.com, or you can just go on Facebook and search for the Critter Place and land right there on their great page. So, Ted, we wish you and Karen all the best, and let's hope that some folks are moved to help out one way or another and kind of get you through this challenging time.
Well, I appreciate it, Duncan, and I hope people enjoy meeting our animals.
I'm sure they will. All right. Well, thank you again, Ted, for all your great work for all these great animals over the years. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you, Duncan.
All right. Ted Coran from the Critter Place. I think enough said there probably about the help they could use in various ways. I think Ted obviously is not one to bemoan his faith, and obviously their commitment to the animals is absolutely unwavering, but certainly they could use some help, and been doing this a long, long time, so it would be nice to sort of turn around and help them a bit if possible. So, I'm Duncan Stress for listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed and name that animal tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to win, and there'll be a prize, a copy of Kitty Corner, the latest book by Bob Tart, to the first person who emails in this case. We're doing an email instead of a phone call today. The correct title of this animal song to talkinganimals@wmnf.org. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. I think that's a gimme. Sometimes we like to make it, you know, not too hard. Right? We like to give away some prizes now and again. So again, just email us with that one if you do know. The first person who emails the correct title of that song. Email again to talkinganimals@wmnf.org and maybe put in the subject heading, name that animal tune, N-T-A-T. That'll help us. All right. Well, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, June 20th, when our guest will be Tony Angel, co-author of Gifts of the Crow, How Perception, Emotion, and Thought Allow Smart Birds to Behave Like Humans. That's right, show. It's a show about crows, folks. Hope you'll join me next week for that. Also, hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, both the Talking Animals radio show page, or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. At Duncan Strauss. It's all found. All the links to make it real easy for you are at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby Busalis. My thanks as always to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the wonderful Scott Elliott and the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to three. We're closing out today's show with an animal tune, a fun and different one for us from Natasha Atlas. This is Eye of the Duck, taking us up the NPR News on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. Speak with you again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Talking Animals.
Tasha Rankin, is there a next vocal you want me to throw down on this track? Just be add a little bit of ambience, you know.
Wheel and turn. Wheel and come again.
Jump up in the air and shake your body. Tell me if you're ready and you wanna come wine with me. Right now.